We will have the call on the SEC Network along with Molly Atherton, and Mick joins us now. How you doing, man? Busy time for you, I know.
Yeah, it is. I was listening to that talk up, and I'm ready to get my Wizard of Oz DVD, and maybe I could actually download it on my pad here and take it to that Pink Floyd concert. I just don't know if you try to sync them up, if the Blackjack Symphony is going to have the three lions that have to roar to get it in sync. Did you know about that?
No, I did not.
Oh yeah. That's some of that University of Alabama education that I got years ago. Yeah, if you sync up the Wizard of Oz and Dark Side of the Moon, it actually goes together.
Excellent.
And, very very cool. Inside music thing. So I'm just showing my diversity here.
You look, man. You are nothing if not diverse. Let's start with the day job for you that just wrapped up with the Tennessee Smokies, the AA affiliate, the Chicago Cubs, wrapping up their year. I say that, and I know the regular season is done. Did you guys get the playoffs?
No. We didn't have a very good year as far as the win-loss record, but we did have Chris Bryant, who was the number one player in baseball, according to Baseball America and USA Today. Anyone that ranks prospects, he is the number one prospect in baseball. And it was like for 68 games, it was like having Cal Ripken as your third baseman. Now, he didn't play short, but yeah. The guy hit .350, and he did everything. And the only reason he's not in the big leagues right now, I think, is just that he just came out of college last year. So, but the Cubs have the top farm system in baseball, and when you look at the guys that were on that team this year, not only are we going to be talking about them as Cubs fans or people that that are affiliated with the Southern League, but I think baseball will look back and say, okay, you guys had Chris Bryant, you had Addison Russell, who was the guy that Cubs got for Jeff DiMaggio, start really the trade thing going in July. I wouldn't say deadline because they got the deal done on the 4th, but Albert Elmore was on the team. Jorge Soler is this guy that's in the big leagues right now. He came out of Cuba, and he set the major league record for the most extra base hits to start a career. It was like every day he was getting an extra base hit, this big, strong guy. But honestly, if he would have grown up in America, not Cuba, he'd probably be playing in the NFL after he did his 3 years for Nick Saban. So just wow. An absolute beast. And so that part of it, and for anyone listening that's a Cubs fan, a lot of really good things are in the near future for them. So that was baseball season for me.
It had you busy, I know, and now you're back home here in Tuscaloosa, and while the assignment with the SEC Network is keeping you away from the mic on Friday nights with county high football, as you had done for a number of years, you're still doing the coaches show. You had a chance to visit with Lee Gibson. They've gotten off to a great start, 2-0 in the new Class 7A, and a matchup with Spain Park tonight. Tell us a little bit about the conversation with Coach, and kind of, first of all, where he feels the team is right now at this point, 2 weeks in.
Yeah, Coach is funny because I look at the team and I say, okay, well, Seth Franks, the quarterback, Eddie Williams, their star receiver, and kick returner have they've kind of found a little pact with each other. Eddie's been able to catch a lot of good passes from Seth, and those guys have turned those into points. And then their running back, Burns, has gotten into the end zone a bunch of times, too. He has over 100 yards rushing last week and a touchdown and, even some yards receiving. And, if you had him in fantasy, you probably would have got about 35 points. But Coach talks about a lot of the other guys that make this team so far competitive. And, when they split it up into 7A football, County High was, he said like 30 players away from being in 6A. And if they're in 6A, you're looking at a team that has a chance to win a state title. In 7A, they're going to be undermanned a lot. And not starters, but it's a lot of times that, you go and play Hoover, they're one of the biggest schools in the state, and a football factory, and their seventh-string running back would be maybe your second guy, So. But for County High, against Hewitt Trussville last week, they persevered. They fell behind twice by two scores and came back and won the game. Their defense didn't allow a point in the second half. They gave up some yards, And the funny part about it was, you know, talking about the Hewitt-Trussville game, is that Coach said that they run an offense that's a lot like Auburn, and County High runs ones that's a lot like Alabama. And, you know, in the first half, you know, the tempo definitely went the way of Hewitt-Trussville, and then in the second half, it was the Wildcats that kind of slowed things up and had long, methodical drives and scored. So they've got some skill players. They've got some guys that are contributing on defense. And, you know, and little things, he said, are the reason why they won the game last week. You know, he talked about a long touchdown run where the a receiver was down the field making a block, and if he doesn't do that, it's not a touchdown. And, you know, how many touchdowns do you get? Well, when you win by one score, you know, that's an important play. So when you now turn the page and look at tonight's game, they're playing Fane Park, who's 3-0. They've actually played one more game in the county. And they're number four in the state, number three in the state, whatever publication you look at. And this is going to be a real test for county because, again, you know, Fane Park, you know, up there in the Hoover area, they've got more players and they're a good team, you know. So how is county going to really kind of, they're starting to get into the 7A schedule now. How are they going to hold up? You know, how are they going to be able to, you know, match up week after week when you got to play Vestavia and you have to play Fane Park and you have to play Hoover. We was already in the region last year, by the way, Hoover, but every single game it's a tough one.
No question about it. Talking to Mick Gillespie as all of our guests appear, courtesy of the Bud Light Hotline, presented by Green Beverage Bud Light, the perfect beer when you're up for whatever happens. We talked about County High and that win last week, a major reason why. Eddie Williams, Jr., I'm doing the call tonight on My 68 with Tyler Watts, and I got a feeling I'm going to be saying the name Eddie Williams a lot. 83 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns, including a 95-yard kickoff return. A guy that is obviously having a really nice start to the season for the Wildcats.
Yeah, he was, and kind of quiet last year. And you know, maybe quiet on offense, but he can play offense and defense. He's just a really good athlete. You know, for county, I mean, it's getting the ball to him, but, you know, he opens it up, too, for other guys on the field, you know, because you have to pay close attention to where he's at, and he's in two games. Established the fact that he's the go-to guy. And I don't think County High had a real go-to receiver last year. You know, so that's definitely good for the team. I mean, they're going to have to score points and everything. I think to beat Fane Park, who they've only played 3 times, a little counting tonight would be 3 times, and both of them were playoff losses. Really good teams, by the way, that lost to Fane Park, and I want to say it was 09 and then 2010. It might have been 2010 and 11, but both of those teams were good. And now they got to play Fane Park every year. So, you know, 7A, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not a big fan of it because I just think that there's the biggest disadvantage you have in high school is the size of your school. You know, and you can't go out and recruit, you know, but. And if you're County High and you're at the bottom end of that, I mean, you get one or two injuries and all of a sudden, you know, you're Lee Gibson, the head coach, and you're trying to plug people in to spots where, you know, they're just going to be overmatched. But I think he's one of the best coaches in the state. I don't know anyone that works harder at their job than he does. I mean, everywhere he goes, he's got the, you know, the iPad pulling up plays and drawing stuff up. And technology's helped coaching a ton, too, you know. He was telling me the other night about the days of having to meet somewhere and, you know, change 8mm film and, sure. You know, and then you got to get that same film back and, you know, and now he's got stuff online the minute the game is for the next game. So they're working hard, and I say this, there's nothing better, and you'll see it tonight, than Wildcats Alumni Stadium or Wildcat Stadium, whatever you want to call it, on a Friday night with a good opponent in the town. And that's the best part about playing in 7A. I think that's the biggest advantage is that you're a school like County High that has a ton of support, and then you play a school like Fane Park or Hoover or Vestavia that has a ton of support. It makes it a whole lot of fun because the fans are out there, and that's how high school football pays for itself. You know, you showing up and watching the games. It's a good appetizer for the weekend.
Talking to Mick Gillespie, he is the – the voice, or has been the voice, I should say, of County High football for a number of years, and still hosts Lee Gibson's radio show on Thursday nights. And the reason he's not doing the play-by-play on Fridays, busy with the SEC Network. And I misspoke. I said that Alabama's got Alabama State in soccer, but you and Molly will have the call tonight, as it's actually UAB coming to town for a matchup that gets underway at 7 o'clock over at the Alabama Soccer Complex. And Todd Bramble's team has had some ups and downs. I've seen him a couple of times, but coming in 3-2-1 against a rival from not very far down the road.
Yeah, when I was researching this game, and I'm still looking at stuff now, it's amazing that Alabama and UAB don't play more in different sports. But, you know, you don't see them play basketball, and they don't play football, and they play baseball and softball. And I think, you know, those can be competitive. But this soccer rivalry, it really is a rivalry. I mean, the season series split just about down the middle. UAB's won one more than Alabama, but Bama's won the last four. And, Ben George is right. Soccer's becoming a lot more popular, and people like it. And Alabama has one of the best soccer facilities in the SEC. And normally that means that you have one of the best soccer facilities in the country. And it's been a program where, you know, 2011 they had a great run. They got to the tournament. They got to the NCAA tournament, not just the SEC tournament. And then they're trying to get to the point where they're more consistently getting there. And this year's team has scored a lot. They put a lot of pressure on the goalie. They take a lot of shots. When they played Virginia, I think that was last Friday, they were really smothered by one of the best teams in the country. But I think it's a good measuring stick to see where your program is against the team that might win the national championship this year. And I think that there's still some work to do to get to that point. But you got a lot of credit to them. They came back out. And when they've played teams that they're better than, that they're superior than, they have really taken it to them. You know, they've outshot their opponent. They've outshot them on goal and hasn't been close. Saw that again Sunday. So I'm guessing tonight that Alabama just goes on the attack. They try to, you know, put as much pressure on the goalie as they can. And the goalie for UAB is right now one of the best in the country. She's 28th nationally in saves. So that can be good or bad. I mean, because look, if you're saving that many shots, the defense probably isn't that good, you know. But you're going to let some in. But she's got 31 saves and she's allowed 9 goals. And it's constant pressure. But Angelica Jimenez is her name, and I'm curious to see that. This is a big game for UAB because they've lost 3 straight, and they're a team that kind of had their 2011 season, like we talked about with Alabama last year. You know, they won 11 games. The year before that, they only won 2, and they returned all of their starters that scored for them. You know, they lost right. some players, but all the ones that produced goals and points assists, and had the bulk of their shots came back. So they have the players that should be able to win. They've been dealing with some injuries. And, you know, the final thing about this, and I mentioned rivalry again, is that UAB's conference has changed a lot. You know, Conference USA isn't the same as it was a couple of years ago, and their rival was Memphis. You know, it started in basketball, and then it kind of spread out in football and also in the other sports, including soccer. And so when you look through their schedule right now, I mean, if you know, in college you look for that one game, hey, this is, we're playing Auburn tonight, and that's Alabama's rival, no doubt about it. Well, for UAB tonight in soccer, that's Alabama. They don't have another game on the schedule where you're really going to say this is a rival. They may have games in conference that are more important, but not as in that rivalry stake. So they're looking to rebound back. And for Alabama, Coach Bramble really would like to have a good year with this team. He's got a lot of players coming back from last year. And, you know, Alabama needs to win these type of games, not just for the record and to get into the postseason, but also to establish the fact that they're the program in the state. And unfortunately for them right now, Auburn, you know, on the other side of the state is in the same conference and ranked nationally. Alabama's got to compete with that. So this is a big year as far as being able to stay level or at least close to level with Auburn and establishing the fact that with the facilities and a good coach, a guy that's had a lot of success at Clemson, trying to get that consistent success here in Tuscaloosa, and you don't want to lose the UAB if you're trying to do that.
Mick, always appreciate the time, man. Great stuff. Look forward to seeing you in Molly tonight. Or, again, if you're going to a high school game, that's the beauty of the SEC network and what you get on the digital platform. If you want to check it out, you can go and find it literally as soon as the match ends. So you get back from seeing County High play or whatever your local high school team happens to be here in the area, and go check that out on the Watch ESPN app, ESPN3.com, or SECnetwork.com. Mick Gillespie on the call with Molly Atherton. Always appreciate the time, buddy. Hope we get a chance to catch up in person soon.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm going to try to say the word goal when Alabama scores tonight.
Yeah.
For about 3 minutes straight.
So, do that.
Make sure you tune in for that, a lot like they do overseas.
I'll look forward to catch it. If it happens, I want the text so I can make sure I go back and find it.
And no problem. And again, it's the third Lion in the Wizard of Oz. Then you hit play on your Dark Side of the Moon CD, and everything else from that point on is magic.
Making notes as we speak.
See you. Roll Tide. See you, Chris.
Roll Tide, buddy.